Welcome to Syncopate. I'm Dr. Michelle S. Johnson, aka DJ Disobedience. This documentary series pursues the syncopation of culture, that groove just on the other side of the beat, and brings together education, social science, arts, culture, history, science, and cultural production. It'll bring in health, humanities, philosophy, and people's lives. Each show starts with a curiosity I have about a cultural expression. As I've traveled paths of thought and land, I still wonder about aspects of American Black history, especially in the Midwest. Whether it's from the perspective of a DJ, an American culture PhD, or the kid who just loves social studies and now knows about Zora Neale Hurston, listeners can pop in on instructive conversations about Black movements in spaces, especially in Michigan. I most always start with my very cool and knowledgeable friends and family. My people are variously degreed, informally and informally trained in the ways of the world. Welcome to our side of the beat. My career has been based on oral testimony. Only one professor during my undergraduate and graduate school experience ever asked me to interview someone. That meant that I taught myself a lot along the way, and I learned especially from the work of people like my family storytellers, Zora Neale Hurston, Richard Price, and Randall Keenan. In their anthropological, historical, and/or literary work, these folks relayed the utter reliability and the inevitable suspicion in the moving truth at the center of possibility in oral history. The field of public scholarship or doing academic work in the field is growing, and increasing circles understand the value of individual and collective voices in policy, economy, and history. One of those notable voices is my longtime friend, former bandmate with the movement, and co-creator Lindsay Kelly.
My name is Lindsay Kelly, and I am 43 years old. I was born in Niles, Michigan, but only because it was the closest hospital. I was from Eau Claire, commonly known as Eau Claire, Michigan. That's where my mother and her whole family was from. And my dad is from Cassopolis, Michigan. So if we weren't in Eau Claire, we were in Cass. And that was the first 6-7 years of my life. My dad was working in Kalamazoo as a garbage man and at the state hospital. That's where he met my mother, as a music therapist, and had her own clinic in Vandalia. But they met each other in Kalamazoo working at the state hospital. And then my dad got a job at Upjohn Pfizer Pharmacia, but it was Upjohn back then. And that's when we moved to Kalamazoo.
And so you were around 7 when you moved to Kalamazoo?
Yeah, around 7. It was also, my mother also was pregnant with my sister. I think that also moved us to Kalamazoo. My parents weren't married until my mother needed health insurance. And so I think that had a lot to do with it. They were like, well, now we're on the second kid. Maybe we should get married, and I need health insurance anyway. You're the one making all the money up there in Kalamazoo. Let's just do it.
Well, let me back up and ask about what the difference between Eau Claire and Cassopolis. What were your first impressions of both places?
Cassopolis.
Or lasting impressions.
Right. Cassopolis, my dad's family is huge Irish Catholic. He himself has 14 brothers and sisters, 15 of them in all. And Cass was only cousins to me. That it was family to me. Like, but it was big on hogs. Cass has always been big on pigs. And the Cass County Fair was important. And I mean, the same memories I have of Cass right now are from my childhood. That's how mythical Cass is for me. It's really just where my family is from. I don't know much more past that. That's where the Kellys are. And the Cass County Fair. And Friday fish at the Tasty Twirl. It's like, that's still what's up. That's still what's going on in Cass. It's full of Kellys. The Cass County Fair. Our family has so many stories about the Cass County Fair. It's once a year. And I mean, we all just grew up there. I feel like there's a story about my father, of Bobo the Snake Boy. My father ran away from home, joined the circus, and they found him in a tub of snakes. Bobo the Snake Boy, he had run away from home and they found his dumbass at the fair. They were calling him Bobo the Snake Boy, and it was like a neighbor or somebody from church found Ben Kelly, young little boy, in a tub full of snakes and said, "That ain't no Bobo, that's Ben Kelly." And tracked down my grandma and grandpa to come and fetch their son from the fair or the circus or something. That's a real story that people will still tell to this day about Bobo the Snake Boy. And I think that's where Cass County Fair began with my family. I remember being at the Cass County Fair and my whole family, my mother and my grandmother, my uncles, and even my father and everyone had worried and worried and worried me about, give this check to Grandma and Grandpa Kelly. They will give you money for the fair. Keep your purse zipped up. Do not lose this stuff. I did not give the check to Grandma and Grandpa. I was robbed at the fair. They snatched my purse off my shoulder. I tried to grab it. All of my money fell out all over the fairgrounds. People came from out of nowhere, grabbed up all of my money and my Nana's check that had her routing and her account number on it. And she had to change banks and close out her account and all manner of wild mayhem. Cass County Fair.
So if you go to the fair, what's happening at the fair?
Well, there's like, you know, carnival rides, but there's also the 4-H aspect of it. And I guess I haven't been in a while, but there were always, I can't remember what they're called now. They're like horse races, but the guys are on little buggies. But it's just a buggy that's big enough to hold a man. And he's barely on the buggy, you know what I mean? So they used to have those kind of things. And I think my dad rode an ostrich at the Cass County Fair once. There might have been a race where random people could try or something. Please ask Daddy about riding an ostrich. My mom's mom, Nana, worked for the Youth Service Bureau and would always work the booth in one of the barns at the Cass County Fair. So Nana was often working at the fair, which meant she would bring me there and then the Kellys would meet us all there. And we'd run and terrorize the fair all day until it was time for Nana to close the booth down. If you can think of it, I feel like my cousin Asali did 4-H and had rabbits, and there were chickens and ducks and geese, and those were all completely separate. It's not like you did chickens, ducks, and geese. Those were like whole rows to themselves. The sheep, the pigs, the cows, the horses, different from ponies, everything. Everything you can think of. I think they even had hamsters. Like, you know, like there were varmints, there were rodents at the fair, too. That's silly. But yeah, cats and dogs. There were cats and dogs at the Cass County Fair. Lots of dog breeding in the 90s, I feel like. People made a lot of money breeding dogs in the 90s, and I think that became like a big deal at the fair. Well, there's been much debate because, as I recall as a child, but of course we all just build stories in our heads, I thought my grandfather always had land, always had a garden, not so much a crop of sorts, like he didn't have acres of corn, but there was always a garden that we all ate out of. It wasn't like, oh, Martha Stewart, this is pretty. Oh, look at her pretty garden. No, there were big, long rows of vegetables. And there was canning that went on for days in both sides of my family. And we ate it and lived off of it and also gave it away. And there was always a part of both sides of my family, but they don't see that as farming. But I know people who've never transplanted a poinsettia. You know what I mean? Like, I know people who do not garden or what I consider farming. But my dad did grow hay And that was farming. That was acres and acres of hay. And I don't know, alfalfa? And I think that my grandfather got into that at some point or another.
A jazz, blues, and rock vocalist enjoying prominent recording and performance visibility, reflects on her family roots in horse farming in Vicksburg and long-standing residency in Cass County, one of Michigan's most notable political, agricultural, recreational, and historic places. In the process of preparing for this podcast, Lindsay clarified with her father that the Kellys were 18th century Irish settlers, and her great-great-grandfather, who was born in the U.S., made a trip to Ireland, came back, and married a Choctaw woman in Mississippi. In our interview, the possibilities in the process of wondering and finding out reveals the importance of listening, checking, and retelling the illustrative specifics of our family stories. In my time with Lindsay, we discuss her art and places of origin, sustainability and greens, Cass County's Black family networks, and how family stories are shaped, forgotten, and recovered.
Well, I'm going back up to the gardens. What kind of, so this was your, on both sides, so this was in Eau Claire and also in Cass that this was happening. Yep. Tell me a little bit about the Cass side of the family and what kinds of gardens they had.
Well, greens and greens and greens and greens. If there was some kind of a green, we were growing it and stewing it and eating it and constant. There was always a pot of greens on in any of their houses. And all of my aunts live in town. Everyone lived in Cass. And there was never not greens on the stuff. Maybe even cold from last night and ruined now. Unless you heat them back up and put some balsamic vinegar in there. So, greens, constant. And squash, zucchini and yellow squash and butternut squash and sweet potatoes. And everything. I'm trying to think of what there wasn't. There were peppers and roots, carrots. I guess no celery and nothing like that. Because it wasn't, celery's different. You know, that's got to be wet. But what wasn't there? Always lettuce and romaine. I remember Nana had different kinds of lettuce in the row. And hay. Always hay or straw laid down through the rows and around everything. And it made for way less weeding. Then it was like we only had to weed it once or twice when we first got it started. And then when it was about done. And the squash always lasts a lot longer. Oh, watermelon. I'm trying to think. I guess on mom's side, my Aunt Carol lived across the street from Tremendous Fruit in Eau Claire and had orchards along her property, apple orchards. And I remember my father bringing horses in a trailer over to Aunt Carol's. And Aunt Carol had horses at one point too, but that was before I was on the scene. And they would ride up and down and all through the apple orchards. And there was never, I feel like it wasn't like thievery or anything. Nobody was stealing because we didn't take enough for anybody to notice. We only take enough to make a pie every once in a while or to eat an apple right here, right now. But we weren't like cleaning trees or anything. But there were cherries and peaches and there seemed to be an endless amount of fruit always. Oftentimes we would go and pay for it and sometimes even pay. We'd buy $50 worth of fruit and then sit around. My Aunt Carol had a pool, and after church on Sundays, everyone came to the pool and we would roast. We'd grill a roast and gorge on food and liquor. Everyone would get very much intoxicated. It's Eureka Road is where Tremendous Fruit is, and we called it Club Eureka because it was ridiculous. My mother's side of the family, very musical. So guitars and singing constantly. and swimming, and everybody's just laying around, getting brown, drinking and singing and eating the fruit. Oh my God, I just remember just tons of fruit constantly at Aunt Carol's. And the gardening, yeah.
Well, I guess maybe that's
Berrien County or Sodus. No, I think it is. It's Berrien. Because it isn't St. Joe County. It must be Berrien County. But Mississippi is where they're from. And I want to say where, but my mother's side of the family is also from Mississippi. Her father was from Mississippi. So it's hard for me to differentiate between Kelly, Mississippi and Pashue, Mississippi, because they were Cajun versus black, and I just don't know. I don't know. I feel like I used to know. Shreveport?
Louisiana?
Right, that's Louisiana. Mm-hmm. We had people there. Mm-hmm. And also in, that's Louisiana. Yeah, never mind. In fact, I think it was my great grandparents were in Mississippi, and they came north, or Aunt Gertrude was in Chicago. You gotta ask Daddy. They all came from Mississippi first. Well, they came from Ireland first, but Mississippi.
So where did the blackness connect up with Ireland? How did that happen?
I want to say that Mr. Kelly came from Ireland and married, I don't know her name, but married a black Choctaw woman. And I don't know if he owned her first and then married her or whatever. I just don't know. That could be a fairy tale I made up, because I bet she was fine. So he probably might have just married her because she was bad. So we don't know, but maybe he had to marry her to take her north or something. I'm dumb now. I'm making things up. And I want to be authentic with it. And Daddy will know the real story, or at least the one I'm supposed to believe. Because the one I believe is that she was so fine that he could not do anything but follow her around until she was like, okay, you weird Irishman, I will marry you. And that's the story I have in my head, that he didn't care what was going on in the world, what people believed or anything, that he saw my great-great-granny and she was so bad that he was like, to hell with whatever anybody thinks. I'm gonna marry her, take her north, done. That's the story I want to believe, but it's probably more the other one. Like, he had to marry her to buy her off of somebody or something terrible. But everybody was in Mississippi at the jump. Even my father was born down there. So I know that if my great-grandparents did come north, it was probably after my grandparents did. I'm not sure what got them up here. Maybe Aunt Gert or Uncle James, my grandfather's brother, maybe.
No one else has a valid point of view. Isn't that what you're telling me? You've got everything that you need in the palm of your hands. You can't help but want more, leaving all your lovely love letters on every silly girl's door. Girl, what's the big deal? What's the big deal about Una O'Neill?
There's a nostalgic sense that every song I write carries with it, and I won't leave it alone until it reminds me of Camp Baber, Cassopolis, Club Eureka, the fruit. Like, I have to leave my stamp on anything that I do. And that's something that I only started doing later in life. Like, a lot of my songs when I was younger, of course, were just, you know, dumb. But the older I get, the more if it doesn't, if I don't mention my father or the pool or my sister or something that ties back to my past or where I come from, I'm really not done with it. It's got to have, you know, I need to let things go, but I can't. And there, anything that I release out into the world artistically, any kind of lyrics or song, it's got to be tied back in to all of it, or I won't like it, or it'll be thin to me, like a waste of time, useless. Like, this is a dumb song. Oh, this one will be on the top 40. You know, this will be the one on the album that everybody likes, but I hate, and that the producers forced me to do. That those are the ones that I don't like. Ooh, baby, with them jeans on. Like, that's the kind of dumb stuff that everybody winds up loving, but has nothing to do with me as a person whatsoever. And all of my songs. There's a... Kalamazoo is a different story altogether, because I broke free there. Like, that's where I feel like I discovered reality and heartache. And I learned to sing the blues in Kalamazoo. And I would not be the person I am now if it weren't for the decades I spent in Kalamazoo. But I can't live there anymore, never again. And when I got to, when I have to go back home and take care of them on the farm, I am probably not going to spend a lot of time in town. I'm probably not going to go back into town a whole hell of a lot. Probably won't catch me at Louis's too much. But I will always go back to Eau Claire and Cassopolis happily. And it's almost like another world for me. It's like the place time forgot, kind of, you know. Although, you know, Cass is keeping up, so's Eau Claire. But they haven't changed for me, because I just didn't live there nonstop. I would always go back, go back, go back. I will do everything I can to never live there. I want to be able to always just go back to Cass. I want Cass to be magic for me. I want Eau Claire to always be a fruity and sunshine and swimming pool for me. That's it. It needs to be Club Eureka for me forever. And when it isn't, I won't go back anymore. But I can't live in any of those places. But I can't ever really get too far away from them either. So South Bend's nice. This is Mishawaka. This works out just right. I've become a whole different person here, where nobody knows about all that other stuff down here. And it's wonderful. And I feel successful and confident here, where I just can't escape the past in those other places.
And is that reflecting in your art?
For sure. Oh, for sure. I still haven't left 2019 behind me. I'm still coming off of 2019. That was a bad year. It was just a really bad year. Very emotional. A lot of loss and sharp, painful reality for me and my loved ones. And I just, you know, I'm extra. We don't have to pretend like I'm not extra. It was more than I could really handle. That left a mark on me. The 2019 left scars. And I am crazy. Mostly because of last year. I'm sure the previous 20 years had nothing to do with it.
Smile, though your heart is aching. Smile, even though it's breaking. When there are clouds in the sky, you'll get by. If you smile,
Thanks for listening in on our Syncopate conversation with Lindsay Kelly. You can hear other parts of the series on WMBM Radio on Live 365 4 days a week, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time during July and starting in August on Podbean. It's worth driving to New Buffalo, Michigan and South Bend, Indiana, where Lindsay plays monthly with Linz and Cello at the Four Winds Casinos. The Syncopate intro and outro music is by CC Beats. The Raising Hay intro and outro music is by A Chickwood Beats, and the project is mixed and edited by C3 Media and Production. Lindsay Kelly curated her story's musical selections and added Thundercat Them Changes, her own Una O'Neill with Russell John, and Smile by Judy Garland. You've been listening to Syncopate, the groove just on the other side of the beat. I'm DJ Disobedience, aka Dr. Michelle S. Johnson. We hope your landscape looks richer with Black history and your commitment to restoring Black spaces is deepened. Let Black joy become your anthem and fill the space around you. I'd like to thank C3 Media and Production, Creative Visual and Audio Storytelling, RB Productions, WMBM Radio, and the Arts Council of Kalamazoo for their generous support of this project. The intro music is by CC Beats, an LA artist and one-time Kalamazoo and Fire and Historical and Cultural Arts film and videography staff.